Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network.
If you could go back in time to prevent the war that you're fighting, would you do it? Today, we're talking about Cable from X-Men, the animated series specifically. And we're just doing this as a part of our spring series. It's called On Loop. It's just a bonus we're doing that releases only to the main feed. There's no YouTube. Every Friday for 6 weeks, we're doing bonuses like this 5 times this year. We did one in January. We do one for spring now. We have one for summer, Halloween, Christmas. And we're just kind of going through our favorite time loop stories. And this ties into our annual theme of the faces behind us. Kind of investigating how a character can be the face behind themselves. So, we're talking about Cable from specifically the animated series, X-Men, which is, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of when most people found out about Cable, at least most people my age, that's when we found out about Cable. I know, like, me growing up, Cable was just kind of always an X-Man, because I'm not very old. he was just always there for me. But I am TJ Blackwell. I'm going to be one of your hosts today, and I'm here with the one and only Jill. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. It's a good day.
It's a good day. It's 80 degrees for us here today, which okay. I'm sure is like nothing for you, but
it's winter here in Arizona. But I think we're sitting about the same, maybe 85, 86 degrees. It's a beautiful spring day here. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into it. For you, when did you, like, you learn about Cable? How were you introduced to Cable?
So I do remember watching X-Men Animated, but that isn't one of the storylines that, like, stuck in my mind. So the first Cable I think of is Cable that was in Deadpool. Josh Brolin. That was my first like introduction. I was like, wow, he's like a badass and he's good looking. This is cool character. And then I went back and watched animated series. And then I actually bought a couple of the comic books, X-Men 97 and then whatever the prequel was. I can't remember what it's called, but
yeah. For me, my first like real experience with Cable as a character is from Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Okay.
Just because I love fighting games. I've always played fighting games. So I didn't read a lot of comic books when I was little. My dad didn't read comic books. There wasn't a comic shop like close. But we played fighting games. So Cable was awesome. He was super strong in Marvel versus Capcom. And it kind of got me hooked. And now Cable's just kind of awesome. I feel like that's not really
a really cool character.
It's not really an opinion, you know? Cable just is awesome. I'm pretty sure he's in the dictionary under the definition.
I get it.
He rocks, dude. Cable, Rob Liefeld, as not great of a comic artist as he might be, came up with the design, and he was the inspiration from him was his favorite movie is The $6 Million Man.
Okay.
And he just wanted someone really cool, so he based him off of Arnold Schwarzenegger from, like, Predator and Terminator. Yeah.
Yep.
Nailed it. That's exactly what Cable is. And he's awesome. So if we were, I don't know, your place, my place, on the couch, we just watch animated series X-Men, and we just finished like a nice Cable episode. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Okay, so I'm going to think about, because he's kind of in like two different storylines, but just the Time Fugitives. Is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah, Time Fugitives, where it's almost like Cable versus Bishop, and they're trying to stop this mutant virus from happening. Yeah, the technovirus, trying to stop it from happening to save his future timeline. And then Cable gets in, is like, no, the virus has to happen. So if we just had watched that, I would be thinking there, and I would say to you, there's a lot of nuance here. So are we talking about Cable versus Bishop, or is it Cable versus Apocalypse? And either way, I want Cable to win, because as we've already established, he's awesome and he's a badass. And I would be thinking he's really going to come into play down the road. And that computer that gets in his arm is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so cool. I never knew what Cable's powers were growing up. And I think I'll probably say most people don't. Because like the cyborg parts, that's not part of it. That has nothing to do with his mutation. It's telepathic. Yeah. Like I had no idea for so long. And like the beams and stuff, like that's not like super cool energy blast. Like it is technically, but it's coming from his mind. That threw me off hard when I found out for the first time. But the cybernetic parts is just from the technovirus.
Just super cool.
He's the coolest character, maybe of all time. Definitely coolest character in the X-Men most of the time.
World.
I would say. You know, Nightcrawler's up there for me a lot.
I was just going to ask who competes with. Okay, Nightcrawler.
A character with like a good Catholic guilt arc. And that rocks. That rocks for me.
Okay.
But that's kind of what I'm at. You talked about it a little bit. You talked about him and Bishop and him and Apocalypse. So in animated series, Cable is from the year 3999 or 39. Yeah, 3999. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting Apocalypse, who is trying to like kill all mutants or the entire world. I don't know. His name's Apocalypse for a reason.
Right. And you know? He says he's inevitable. Yes.
Yeah. And he is kind of. Cable sure doesn't get the job done, at least not then. So Cable kind of jumps from current day, which I'm pretty sure is just supposed to be 1997.
Yeah.
Or like in the show, which is before I was born. And
that's so cute.
We get like a really cool, you know, juxtaposition of Cable's life. What he sees as his life is 3999 trying to save the world, and him interacting with the X-Men, like his father, Cyclops. By the way, if you don't know who Cable is, it's Cyclops' son. Super cool. Cyclops and Madeline Pryor's son, Cable, Nathan Summers. That's who we're talking about. And it's just awesome. Every time he shows up, it doesn't matter what it's for. If he's coming to try and kill Bishop, if he's coming to fight Bastion, you know? But yeah, how do I want to say this? What makes Cable important?
Well, I think it's this, I'm just going to pick one of the storylines. So Cable versus Bishop. It's this idea of like Cable just wants to destroy the timeline that will lead to like, you know, the destruction of his future, where Bishop's goal is to like preserve the timeline. Mm-hmm. Right? Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think the importance of him is like that we are like asking that question, like is your life and your people more important than like all life and all people? And how do you proceed? And then you can like take that into other situations like, wow, if we had the ability to go back and kill Hitler, stop Hitler from like ever beginning what he had done in 1930s Germany, would that be better? It might be better for like a people group, but would that be better overall, or would come up like be worse? I just think it opens up some like really big philosophical questions, and that's how I see Cable's role in the X-Men, is to have us ask those bigger questions.
Yeah, his meta narrative, definitely. He's so good at it every time. And they've kind of rehashed that a lot with Cable. Mm-hmm. That is kind of his role in Deadpool. It's like he's
going back.
And it does end. It has got a pretty good ending. Cable like stays in the present timeline to
It doesn't go back.
You know, to like personally make sure that his family has a better life, and that also lets Deadpool have his time device, whatever they call it, which is hilarious, super funny. It's hard to talk about Cable and not just think, oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so cool.
Well, even his guns are cool. Like, he has the coolest weapons. I don't know. He is cool. And then he has like compassion too. Like, he's not just like, oh, I'm like a RoboCop, you know, like there's a moment where like he could kill Bishop, but he doesn't. And even the computer is like, why were you holding your punches? You could have eliminated the threat right then and there and gone back. And he was like, well, he's actually here trying to do the same thing I'm trying to do. This could be a little more nuanced than it looks like. And the computer's like, not logical.
Yeah. And he's so good at portraying the human viewpoint, which, you know, some of the X-Men are pretty inhuman, but most of them are just, you know, girls and guys. And it's Cable, this cyborg, who is the one who's like, hey, I'm just saying, they're people. We shouldn't, you know, they have their own lives going on. Just do that for fun. But he can set that aside when it's time to, you know, team up with Deadpool and just slaughter some people. He can do it. And that's great. I'm frazzled. We love some slaughter. let's just put it that way. We love some slaughter. And I think Cable plays everything so straight that it works really well. Like, if he's, you know, partnered up with Wolverine, it's hilarious. He's partnered up with Deadpool. Yep. It's hilarious. He's partnered up with Cyclops. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, you know, just because it's father,
Cyclops
son,
doesn't
he's grown.
Know, right?
I don't think so. Okay. He definitely knows sometimes. Like, there's got to be a couple of books where he knows, you know?
Yeah.
But to my knowledge.
I haven't read them, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah. I'm sure they exist.
And then we also get like Dad, right? The whole reason he's trying to save this timeline is because of his son Tyler. Like, he wants him to be alive and for his life to be good.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, is just emotionally poignant, because I know, at least in the animated series, he's spending time with his dad. Mm-hmm. And Cyclops has no idea. He just doesn't know.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
His little boy Nathan is this absolute
badass
powerhouse monster. Like, he's, I don't know, I would tell him personally if I was Cable. Be like, hey, I know I'm your son, right? Boom, robot arm. I'm your son, but I live in 3999, you know, you know, almost 3,000 years from now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, I have
kidnapped.
A question.
No big deal. Don't worry about it.
That was it. That was my question. So he gets like pulled through the time portal, right? And that's why he's living in this like way, way, way distant future. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And I know initially, like when they wrote Cable the first time for his first book in like the 80s, like the late 80s, he wasn't supposed to be Nathan Summers. That just kind of happened. Like, they wrote Cable, super cool, badass dude. And then later they were like, that should be Nathan's son. Like, we should make that Cyclops' son. That would be fun.
Okay, cool. There's a tie-in. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then later they were like, oh, Madeline Pryor, that's actually a clone of Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Which explains the telekinetic power. Mm-hmm. So it's all above board. It all checks out. Classic 90s comic book shenanigans. Is there anything, though, about Cable in the animated series that you don't like?
Certainly not his costume, not his design. Love, love, love. I'm trying to think. I don't know. What about you? Maybe
no,
you can spark something. No, there's no perfect.
If I had to say anything, I just don't like blue and yellow as a combination. Okay. Like, it's fine. You know, it's X-Men. They're going to wear blue and yellow. I just think other color combinations are better. Could be a lot worse. Blue and yellow looks good. They're better ones to me. I live in South Carolina, so I have to see orange and purple together all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks. So it's not that bad.
It doesn't even seem on the color wheel like that should go together.
Yeah, it doesn't. And they all just pretend it does a lot, most days. It's pretty annoying. And it gets worse the closer you live to Clemson, in case you were wondering. If you're listening to this and you know some Clemson fans, it's worse where I am, I promise. Clemson's like 40 minutes away. They're everywhere. And they pay with $2 bills on game days. And it's weird. Yeah, weird tradition.
Oh, for luck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Which, I mean, it's a cool tradition. You know, most of them can't do it anymore because $2 bills aren't nearly as common as they used to be.
We keep them. I don't know if it's like an Italian thing, but my father-in-law always gets $200 bills. I think he does it like around New Year's, and he gives them to us to give our employees, all of our, like, however many kids they have, they get that many $2 bills, and then our kids always get them.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, I had a no one gives me twos anymore. I used to have a collection. Mm-hmm. I hid them in a stuffed animal, you know, like a little rolled up stack of twos. Mm-hmm.
As one does, yeah.
As one does, yeah. He had a little tear in his ankle. Just like, whoop, slip them right in there. Pretty sure I lost it and the money. So, lesson learned. But Cable's inspiration of himself. Cable always grows. He never leaves with the same perspective he came in with, unless he was just correct, which happens. Sometimes it happens. But he, being that, you know, vehicle for perspective that he is often, requires him to change and understand what is different himself. So I think he does it really well. I think he's perfect for it. And it's a really convenient way to have a character that you only want to appear sporadically. It's like, oh, where's Cable at? Oh, he's in the future. He's fighting Apocalypse. Duh.
Yeah. And then he just like pops in, joins the team, adds some cool nuance. Like you said, grows. Like he has an arc in every time he's there. And then is like, peace out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really like brilliant design.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's like, oh, I got to go back and fight Apocalypse. So, sorry, guys. Yeah, I could help a lot if I stayed, but I got to go fight Apocalypse. It's just weird to think about how time works in the 616 universe. Because you're here, time's still moving forward in 3999. Strange. It's strange. It's definitely strange.
Oh, TJ, I just can't like think about it too much or my head will explode. I have a really hard time with time travel stuff.
Yeah, me too. I haven't done it yet, which might be part of the hang up, but one day. He never talks about, like, he'll come, do whatever, fight Bishop, fight Bastion, and he'll leave and he'll come back, but he never like gives you an update, you know?
No, like, oh, we actually don't know what his world is like.
Yeah, it's like, hey, here's what changed after last time. So either nothing changed or his timeline, or, you know, well, if nothing changed, his timeline is immutable and can't really stop it. So why does he keep going back? You know?
Well, go back, like go back to like 97 and 2055.
Why does he keep going back to the future?
Oh, because his kid's there.
Yeah, but like bring him.
True. Maybe there's some time rule that he can't. I'm
sure that won't work. He's a smart guy. I'm sure that wouldn't work. But, you know, just in case. Tyler would enjoy the past. Meet Grandpa.
Exactly. Hang with the X-Men.
Yeah, like the X-Men are dead, by the way, in 3999. I'm pretty sure they're all dead. Cable's not even an X-Man. He's Cable, you know?
Right.
And then he has his own team. He has X-Force, which was part, like, why it was really funny that Deadpool made the X-Force in the movie. That was hilarious to me. But they do also, sorry, Cable and Deadpool are an awesome duo. I love it when they do that. They do that a lot in the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game. They always have a little synergistic combo there. It's a fun detail. Games are awesome. Not enough gamers, Systematic Geekology.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could help you out. Yeah.
It's okay. I'll suffer. Christian does, though. We just don't talk about them, you know, for some reason. Anyway, if you were trying to get someone to watch X-Men, the animated series, what would you say? How would you get them to go?
Oh, I did this. So I can tell you my real life experience. My husband came in and was like, "What are you watching?" Sort of in a judgmental way, but mostly in a curious way. And I was like, the animation in this show reminds me of He-Man. And that was a cartoon I watched when I was like a little kid, Saturday mornings. And that was all it took. Then he was like, I'm intrigued. And he sat down and watched the good and evil. I think it's, I don't remember what that storyline is called, but something good and evil. And there's like four parts, and that's Cable's big part in season three of X-Men animated. And it was just like the cool animation and the nostalgia of it. I think people should watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Even if you haven't seen it, listen, there's a good chance if you're listening to this that you've seen X-Men 97 and not the actual original series. I get it. It looks awesome and it's really fun. But
it is fun.
You got to check out the original because it is just like the pinnacle of Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
It
yes,
really is. Absolutely. It is exactly like in your mind's eye, you think Saturday morning cartoon, you walk into the living room, there's Cyclops in this art style. It's perfect. It's up there for me with like G.I. Joe. And like how much it belongs on your TV on Saturdays.
Yeah, on a Saturday morning. Absolutely. I do want to say about animated series, and this is also true in the comic books, like Storm is so cool. And not only does she use her powers in like the best way, but she always says something super wise as she's releasing, you know, may the thunder of justice rain down on you. Like she's just very cool. And I feel like they lose that in the live action. I mean, I love some Halle Berry, but she's just not developed in the same way she is in the animated series. And I had forgotten that by rewatching X-Men 97. I was like, oh yeah, Storm's my favorite. I forgot.
Yeah, she's so cool. Even in Civil War, which I think personally, there's a few character assassinations in Civil War. But Storm's not one of them. She gets married to Black Panther and their wedding rocks.
Yes.
And like Nelson Mandela is there. Dizzy Gillespie's there. It's awesome. They just take a little break from the whole shebang, and there's like, here's Storm and Black Panther's wedding. There you go. There's a little fun for you. And it is probably my favorite part of Civil War. It's up there.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's so cool. So just to recap, there's no reason not to like X-Men the Animated Series. We've determined that for a fact. You know, point blank period, no further discussion needed there. So everyone needs to watch it. That's what you take away from this. Also, Cable, at least top 10 coolest characters ever.
Top three.
You know, like I'm trying to be
top three X-Men.
I'm leave some definitely easily top three X-Men. Definitely. But I mean like characters all time, top 10. I'll give him that.
Okay. Okay,
off the top of my head, I can't think of nine characters that I are just instantly like cooler than Cable. But if I had to, I maybe could. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Not really relevant. Just I feel like that's important to get out there into the world. But we've already talked about it a little bit. The way that Cable turns your perception on yourself makes you question these things about yourself. Really is his greatest strength, as cool as he is, as much as he's the cool guy. He's also a great tool for introspection, and that's one of the things that make us love Cable and make himself influenceable by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And also, literally, that's what he's trying to do. Like, that's his actual mission, is to do exactly that. So, if you were going to be stuck in a time loop with any one of your friends or family members, we're going to start wrapping it up with this. Who would you want it to be, and what movie or show would you be watching on repeat? this scenario?
Oh my gosh. I feel like this answer is going to change. Like, it just depends on the week that you ask me. Right now, I like to rank my kids like 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then I have some bonus kids. Sometimes I throw those in there too. But right now my son is my favorite kid. He's just been doing things right. He's like kissing my butt. I like him.
Yeah.
He's a good kid. He's 19. So I'm going to pick my son, Jack, and we can be in a time loop and we're going to have to watch a comedy. And this might make me like the worst mom ever, but the last show that we watched that we just like loved was The Interview.
Someone at work told me they watched The Interview yesterday.
It's so inappropriate. I feel like it's making a round again because we keep having these discussions about like movies that couldn't be made today. And this is not that old of a movie, but it's not getting made in 2026. Yeah. So yeah, that's a really inappropriate answer, but I'm watching The Interview with my son, Jack, and we are cracking up and we are just laughing at the satire of world politics.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said, not only about The Interview. I don't think The Interview could have been made the year it was made. They just did it.
it created like a huge diplomatic rift. Yeah.
It was a big deal. But there's a lot of answers for this. Like a lot. My first thought was like me and Josh, and we're watching Groundhog Day. Until we figure out
you're
how
in
to
a
stop
time
the
loop
time.
About a time loop.
Yeah.
That's good. Joshua Knoll?
I just think that'd be funny. Yeah. I've known Josh for like 19 years.
Okay. Yeah.
I've known Josh as long as you've known your son.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
He was my camp counselor. I like to tell people he groomed me into podcasting. That's great. Yeah. Sorry, Josh. I think my favorite answer that I've been able to think of is me and my dad, and we're watching Rawhide.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know how many episodes there are of Rawhide? We might not even finish it before we figure out how to get out of the time loop.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So many seasons made back when there used to be just like 28 episodes a season or something crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Rawhide is stupid long. But let us know. Listeners, what your answer would be. Who are you time looping with? Figure it out. Get back to us. You can't say Back to the Future. That's cheating. You probably can't say Groundhog Day. That's cheating.
I think yeah.
You know, it's too easy. But rate and review the show wherever you listen. Super helpful for us. Gets us out there. Gets us more popular. Check out the show notes for a playlist of this whole series, the spring series. You know, on loop. Super fun. And if you have to go, you know, 3,000 years into the past, just be careful. Be careful. Maybe spread the news. Maybe carve systematic geekology into a rock somewhere. Would be helpful for us. And if you do that, let us know so we can compensate you for that. That seems fair. You do have to prove it. Hopefully get it in a museum somewhere. But thank you for listening. We'll miss you. We love you. And see you next time.
See you next time.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
This is Joshua Knoll. I am one of the hosts of this podcast. I am also host a few other shows on the Anazal Podcast Network that this show is a part of. If you want to hear more from me, you can check out the Whole Church Podcast, where TJ and I go through talking to people from various different church traditions to see what can be done to better harness church unity in the world today. You can also hear me on Be Living Water, where I talk about Taoist Christian beliefs and examine various media like the Book of Daniel and Les Miserables through a Taoist Christian perspective. You can also hear me as I do some of the voice work for the Bible After Hours, where the foul-mouthed preacher goes through the Bible from a more progressive point of view. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you'll consider checking out these other shows on the Anazal Podcast Network.